The next matter, number 22-1729, Jose Ruben Camacho et al. Versus Luisa Estrella Clavero Siaca. At this time, would counsel for the appellant please introduce himself on the record to begin?
Good morning, Your Honors. For the record, Counselor Victor M. Rivera Rios, on behalf of the appellant, Luisa Estrella Clavero Siaca, we request to reserve at least 3 minutes for rebuttal.
You have 2 minutes for rebuttal. And before you begin, let me just start closing. I think this is the crux of this. How do you have standing to appeal a partial default entered against another co-defendant? Let's with that start. Answer that at some point.
Well, and in answering that, did you move for under 54B for permission to appeal since all of the issues that have been adjudicated?
So we understand that in our case, a partial default judgment is the final action. A default judgment is an action that could be appealed, and I believe we have case law.
It's final against one of the litigants in the lawsuit. It's not final as to all, which is what 54B is supposed to
Well, the problem is that it's final, but it affects it's a joint liability decision that affects our client, which is the appellant, because it's resigning a contract that she is a part of. It's a property that. And to have a more background of the case, the complaint was filed against the default co-defendant and the appellant, and is trying to rescind a contract that was entered between both of them, where he transferred property to her. And he transferred property to her. The appellees are alleging that that's a fraud, that that's the only asset he had, for that they could only collect money from that only property. And then when we were served, we filed an answer and a third-party complaint, where we allege that the siblings of the default co-defendant are concealing assets. And if anything needs to be collected before they go to our property to rescind the contract, they need to go towards those private assets.
Let me make sure I understand. So the problem is that even were she to win by proving that the heirs are concealing the assets, she would lose because the rescission of the contract for her to have this house has already been rescinded. So
exactly.
Whatever happens in the rest of this litigation doesn't matter because the default judgment already
was entered. And that's why we're citing the Supreme Court case of Pro de la Vega. And in that case it says
without judgment entering as to all parties, can execution issue on this one judgment?
The appellees want to continue against without partial judgment, they probably could. Usually, based on the federal rules of civil procedure, there could be an entry of default, which occurred here, and we're not, we're not objecting to that. But usually, there's an evidentiary hearing, perhaps, to obtain the default judgment. We understand that the most proper way to resolve this case is before you enter that default judgment, you should hold the trial. You should hold an evidentiary hearing to submit all the evidence to the fact finder, be it the judge or the jury.
But the question is it final for appellate purposes, or do you need to file a 54B motion since all of the issues have not been adjudicated before the district court regarding all of the claims and all of the parties?
Well, we filed a motion for reconsideration. That we did.
It's not a 54B.
But
it's
a motion for
six specific permission to appeal a judgment that is not complete as to all of the issues before the court.
Well, we filed a motion for reconsideration. We asked the judge to reconsider its default judgment. We used the same case of Roe de la Vega.
And isn't that pending now? That
well, the issue is we filed the motion for reconsideration timely within the 28 days. Then afterwards, we filed a notice of appeal. Obviously,
answer my question. Has the judge in the district court adjudicated the motion to reconsider?
We understand that the judge did, because if you check the appendix number 23, which is a docket report, on docket number 180, the court issued an order staying the case and basically deferring to the appeals.
Right, which means he may have understood that as the moment you appealed, he's been divested of jurisdiction,
yes,
and therefore didn't rule any motion to reconsider.
Implicitly, he's denying the motion to reconsider. He's taking it off his lap.
But and saying its state is not implicitly denied, the court has no jurisdiction to enter an order.
Well, the motion for reconsideration has been pending since September 15th of 2022. Presently, it has not been resolved. We understand that the court, when he stayed,
But your appeal doesn't ripen from the denial of for you to vacate the partial judgment. Once you file a motion to reconsider, we don't have anything before us, because until that motion to reconsider is resolved, then you can't appeal.
The motion for reconsideration will not be resolved until this appeal makes a report.
Maybe you need to have withdrawn that, and so because you undid, assuming you had a final judgment, assuming, which is the question you asked before, once you file a motion to reconsider, you'd mess that up, and that's still sitting there, unresolved. So now we don't have, you have moved to reconsider the thing from which you're appealing.
Not necessarily,
the law.
Not necessarily, Your Honor. A motion for reconsideration may be filed, and the rules of civil procedure and appellate procedures allow that an appeal be filed. And the parties are allowed to file status reports to indicate to this court when there's an order issued to resolve that motion.
I think there's a Supreme Court case that says that is not so. When you file a motion to reconsider, called a bar, that means that judgment that would have otherwise been final is no longer final. The theory being, we don't want appeals when the judge is going to undo it. So when you throw the ball in the air and ask the judge to undo it, you have to wait for the judge to undo it. And you didn't do that by filing your motion to reconsider, which you haven't withdrawn. And so that remains there. So I'm not sure we have, putting aside the other hard question, I'm not even sure we have any appellate jurisdiction while your reconsideration motion is pending.
Oh, respectfully, Your Honor, I understand that this Court of Appeals can make a decision if it's an issue that could be resolved if it's where there's a miscarriage of justice, which basically we understand that
final judgment is the fundamental thing that gives a Court of Appeals jurisdiction. We can't just say, well, we feel like fixing this. There might be an error here. I understand your underlying legal problem, but you haven't perfected it, or you unperfected it, I think. And I think you could fix it, but you haven't. And so here we are.
Well, Your Honor, I believe that when the court issued that order staying the case, he's staying the case. He's not going to resolve the motion for reconsideration. And he specifically said,
but
this case is hereby stayed until the appeal is attended by the U.S. Court of First Circuit.
Okay, but Judge Garcia-Grevy did that, but he could have said, I'm denying the motion. Simply deny it. That's it. Then you'd be here arguing.
Judge Garcia-Grevy at present time has not resolved that motion.
What was the basis of that motion?
The basis of that motion, and that's one of the arguments that the appellees are raising, that we waived arguments. Basically, that motion, we submitted to the district court that they could not issue that default judgment, because that default judgment could result in inconsistent judgments with regards to the other parties that are participating and actively litigating these issues.
And so that's the underlying argument of this appeal.
Yes.
So you've told Judge Gregory, please fix this, and then before you let him fix it, if he's going to, you decided to go off to the Court of Appeals. And the idea of your filing the motion to reconsider is to give Judge Garcia-Grevy the chance to fix it before you come here.
To preserve matters in the district court before we go to the appeals, yes.
You preserved it by filing the original attempting to lift the default judgment. He didn't do that. Then you said, please reconsider. We think you got it wrong, Judge Garcia-Grevy, but you didn't let him have a chance to decide that.
Well,
and now you're here.
Well, we filed a motion and we're waiting his opinion, but he has not resolved the same. We understand that he stayed the case. He said that in light of the appeal, that before the Court of Appeals, he's staying the case and not resolving the motion.
Okay, thank you. You have 2 minutes for rebuttal, so. Ms. Becker?
Counsel, please introduce yourself on the record to begin.
May it please the court. Jane Becker Whitaker, in representation of Jose Ruben Camacho, Maria Angela Camacho and Diana Connor. The court quite beautifully answered a practical question that I had while I was reviewing the briefs, because there are cases that say that the notice of appeal can be...
This is a practical counsel. This is whether we have jurisdiction. It's not just a matter of practicality. It's a matter of whether we have the authority to hear this appeal.
Exactly, but what I'm understanding from what the panel is saying is that if appellant were to withdraw the motion for reconsideration, then this court could actually enter an order as, you know, deciding whether the appeal itself is valid or not.
But if the motion for reconsideration was withdrawn, counsel never did argue why wasn't required to file a 54B motion.
Right, but then...
Can you address that?
I'm sorry?
Can you address that?
If counsel were to withdraw the motion...
It still leaves the fact that he didn't move under Rule 54B for permission to appeal, because the litigation hasn't been resolved as to all of the parties and all of the claims. And usually you can't piecemeal appeals like that when the court hasn't resolved all of the claims before it.
Exactly, and that's what I understand the case law that are discussed in the briefs, Frau and Henry, the uranium antitrust cases, talk about is if there's default entered for one of a number of parties, the other parties, no one has a right to appeal. Second is the...
So what's left to be done? I mean, default judgment was entered. The state court judgment has been recognized. Ms. Claverall has some kind of attempt to undo the rescission by proving that the siblings are hiding assets, but it doesn't seem like that would help in light of the default judgment entered. So what is left? I don't understand. What is left to litigate?
Okay. Well, what happened was that Siaka's ex-husband, Rivera Siaka, who the default was entered against, he transferred his part of the marital property to her. So she already owned the other half of the marital property. But in the complaint, we allege that she did not actually have the right to that marital property, because after they divorced, she possessed the house and possessed it rent-free for 20-some years. And therefore, she had an obligation to pay him back for the value of the rent. And therefore, what we intend to prove at trial is that she has no interest in the property. The entire property belongs to her ex-husband, against whom we have the judgment, and therefore we should be able to execute the judgment against.
And is that different than rescinding the transfer? Is that not effectual? If that judgment went into force and a final judgment were entered right now, based on the default judgment, have you gotten everything you want?
No, because the judgment against him is for transferring his half of the marital property and not her half. So there still has to be a trial as to whether, in fact, we're right on the issue of whether she whether she has that debt to her ex-husband.
Do you agree that the time to appeal doesn't begin to run until all of the claims are adjudicated?
Exactly, yes.
Right, so which is the reason why you need to file the 54B in order to get permission to carve out part of a claim to appeal.
Exactly. And that's what we should have done. We did file a motion to dismiss, but the court wanted to hear the appeal as such, so
I think the court said leave it up to the panel, right?
I'm sorry?
Didn't the court say leave that up to the panel?
Yeah.
Yeah. over the panel, which I'm trying to figure out.
Okay.
The other question I have is, my law clerk indicates to me that I don't know how to pronounce his name, Sakashia is incompetent. The one against whom the default was entered was declared incompetent at some point. Is that correct?
Well, the problem is when the case was being seen in the local court, the local court judge informed attorney counsel that there were pleadings filed by Mr. Rivera Siaka from which he concluded that Mr. Rivera Siaka was incompetent. There's never been a determination that as to his competence. So,
well, in order to get a default judgment, I mean, maybe this is something different under the civil code. Don't you have to file an affidavit that says the party against whom you're seeking a default is competent?
Yes, he was served by a regular process server. It wasn't that there was service by publication.
The party seeking default has to file the affidavit attesting to the fact that the parties against whom a default is being sought is competent. Was that done, or is that not a requirement under Puerto Rico civil code?
I cannot tell you I don't remember the exact contents of the motion for default. I know the motion for default has to say that the facts and the complaint are accurate. But the presumption under the civil code is that every party is competent. And I remember specifically because the judge in the civil court, in the local court, said that was contrary to his experience in the court. But the presumption among the number of presumptions that are listed specifically in the civil code, presumptions like the person who has possession of a property owns it, there is a presumption that every person is competent until that has been disproved.
Counsel, let me also ask, if we were to dismiss the appeal for lack of appellate jurisdiction, plaintiff is, there's no harm to the plaintiff. He can move to George Garcia Gregory for relief in that reconsideration motion. He can ask for further relief. And again, there's a myriad of things that you can do at the district level. It doesn't mean that the case is final, correct?
Right. I mean, he has moved for reconsideration as to that. And then Judge Garcia Gregory can make his determination.
But he's not prejudiced because the time for appeal, for him appealing, hasn't started yet because all of the claims haven't been adjudicated. So if the district court sticks with its ruling, he can appeal when the claims of all the parties have been fully litigated.
Exactly, when there's a final judgment as to all parties.
Can I ask a question? Why do you want this default judgment as a matter of, maybe beyond the scope of what we can do here, but what I hear them saying is they have this argument to undo the rescission if the heirs of the siblings are hiding assets. And that strikes me as something that is something that she could argue to try to retain her part of the house. And if there's a default judgment, it seems like since it's already been ordered rescinded, she can't make that argument. So when this eventually becomes a real appeal, you'd be not in a good spot. So it strikes me what you would want is a default so that Siaka can't participate and present evidence. You might want that, but the default judgment seems to be working a potential legal problem in this case that when you do what Judge Thompson says you need to do, which is eventually get back here, you'll have a problem. So why don't you want to fix that now? Let her make her arguments, win, so when you have an appeal, you might not have to go back and do this again.
Well, and believe me, the last thing I want to do is do this again.
I appreciate that.
As I was saying, the rescission of the transfer is only up to half of the marital property. As for the ability to find out whether the
she has an argument about that, right? and she wants to make an argument about that to preserve that half of the house, that she says, I don't want to rescind, I don't want his transfer of half of the house to me rescinded. And one of the arguments she could make is, Judge, you shouldn't rescind it because those people over there are hiding his assets. And it's like, understood Puerto Rico law. That could be right if she could prove it. And she won't get a chance because this default judgment has already rescinded his transfer to her that she's trying to protect.
That's incorrect.
Why is that incorrect?
Because when there's a trial in this case, there will be a trial as to the issues that we want to raise as to the fact that, in fact, the entire house belongs to Rivera Seattle. And there will be a trial as to appellant's third-party claim against the other heirs. It's all going to be seen at the same time. And if he finds money from the other heirs, God bless, we'll take that money.
But there's already a judgment that the house, that the transfer of the house is rescinded.
Right, that 50%, but we can't execute on the house itself until there's a determination as to whether whether appellant owns any of it.
Let me go at it one other way, what Judge Abram is trying to get at. If we dispense with the procedural problems here as to whether this appeal has been perfected, it still seems to me that you're left with the problem that comes back before us, that a default judgment was improperly entered, perhaps, because the court didn't have a hearing to determine the merits of what that judgment should look like.
Well,
so what Judge Abram is saying is, do you folks want to dispense with all of this stuff before us, get the case back in the correct posture, and perhaps pick it up and have the kind of hearing that both sides seem to be looking for, which is a trial on the merits without the distraction of the default judgment having been entered? Not the default, because failure to plead is a clear reason for default, but it's the default judgment that seems to be the problem in this case.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Your Honor, but what the point is that after the court entered default, it requested that plaintiffs file a draft default judgment, which we did, and appellant did not object to it.
That's all fine. The question is, I only will tell you right now, I don't think we have jurisdiction. So the question I think we're trying to say to you is, you could put this case in a logical posture to resolve this decades-old, it seems like, litigation, and get it done once and right, instead of this piecemeal approach, and maybe the parties should discuss the way to put it on track for a trial for one shot where legally everything has been done right. Because to me, and you said it, the worst thing is to come back here with that default judgment that wasn't right in a trial and then say, sorry, you gotta do it all again.
Right.
You might have a chance to go back and figure that out, and maybe you should.
Because what you're saying is, if it comes back in the same posture, and just based upon what you said about they didn't object, then we're getting in the way, right?
Right.
I mean,
another, now, I don't want to be representing my original client's grandchildren.
Right. Another possible suggestion, if both sides are amenable, is whether you go to mediation.
And I was just going to suggest that, because you have the benefit, the case is before us, so it would go before the First Circuit mediator. And if he's able to resolve everything, so I don't know what position, and I'll ask Rivera as well, once his rebuttal turn is, we have amenable to mediation, it might resolve everything.
Well, we did, there were three or four mediation sessions, and we thought that we were close, but it didn't happen. So,
that was before
but
that
doesn't mean,
that was
know,
before a magistrate judge? Or?
Before Judge Cordero.
Okay, so the case has been before, okay.
Yeah. And there were actually sessions before the magistrate judge as well, Your Honor. But hey, I've been to 10 mediation sessions, and sometimes you get it done.
Is that the First Circuit mediator? Or is
yeah, Judge Cordero, he's retired. So.
No.
It's Judge King who's involved.
Well, seem to be sort of amenable. What about brother counsel?
From my part in principle, I am amenable for mediation. However, I, to be brutally honest, both parties are far apart in regards to some matters.
You may not resolve the whole thing, but you don't even seem to be talking procedurally about what's actually happening in your case. And that's, I think, what we've tried to do. And you're not in that. It strikes me you're not in the position to have a clean trial. I think you brought something here that I don't think has jurisdiction right now. And then you brought a thing here that if it did come back with jurisdiction, I think there are real problems. And I think that's in none of your interests, even if you can't resolve the case. You might resolve your procedural posture to have one trial and do it right.
It's streamlined.
Okay, so you have your two. Thank you, Ms. Becker. You have your remaining time for a vote.
Okay.
And again, just follow before you start. Let me just. Ms. Becker mentioned it. You know, she doesn't want to be representing her client's grandchildren. You don't want to be handling this case when your kids are in college. So that's just a suggestion we have. So.
For the record, Counselor Victor Rivera-Rios, a little bit of a history. This case originally was being litigated by my father, and he just passed it down to me. So I...
Maybe one of your two children will end up in it.
So, with regards to the question of mediation, in principle, me as counselor, attorney for the, based on Rule 1 for having an efficient economic procedure, I have no problem. We can withdraw the partial default judgment. We can basically go to the trial. I have no problem as long as that partial default judgment is withdrawn. That's my part. The thing is that we need to talk between us and because when there was a moment during this appellate process, we filed a motion to remand and a motion to remand to go back, and in that moment, I did speak with her and I said, I'm willing to go back to district court if you let go or dismiss that partial judgment. But at that time, she wasn't in agreement. If she reconsiders, I have no problem with that.
Or a mediator can bring you together.
Yes.
On your motion for reconsideration, we could ask the district court for an indicative ruling. But it still doesn't get you beyond the 54B problem.
Well, I'd like to stress that in the motion for reconsideration, we did make in that motion an argument under Rule 55C to set aside the default judgment. We did.
And that's still pending.
Still pending. And with permission, I would like to file a letter, a Rule 28J letter of supplemental authorities with regards to the question about whether the appeal has jurisdiction or not. I believe there's a case that I was just looking right now while Sister Counsel was arguing, Juan Flores versus Negro Fernandez, which says that the appeal can divest the district court from jurisdiction. Also, I would like to in that supplemental authorities, bring in another case, which is Grenier versus Sinai Mid Plastics 70 F3rd 667, which talks about issues that are not waived so long as a motion for reconsideration is filed. I understand that the default judgment should be set aside and that it should be reversed because it affects the rights of my client, and my client needs to have a consistent judgment. That default judgment can affect during a jury trial, because if there's a jury trial and they see a default judgment, they will be inclined to rescind that contract.
Well, technically, the jury doesn't see the default judgment.
But there could be instructions that might be that with regards to that.
We're not presiding over trial.
But out of abundance of caution, I believe that before there's a default judgment, sure, there could be an entry of default. But before the default judgment, there should be an evidentiary hearing where all the parties have due process is complied, and they're given due process to present all the evidence and facts of the case, and then eventually we get the final judgment.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very
court
much.
Court is adjourned.